Do it again.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world.
You're listening to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.
Hey girl, a martini, shaken, not stirred.
Don't try and church it up, son.
You can't handle the truth.
I am big. The picture that got small.
Your first one's on us.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling. I'm your host, Mark Rigadana, and with me, as always,
Richie Byrne.
And your producer.
You stumble over that line.
You suck at that.
Soul Joel.
And our special guest today.
We have a special guest.
Let me just say this before we say who the guest is.
He's going to talk for 25
I'm
minutes.
I'm going to ruin the show.
Yeah. Do you even need me?
Let me just say this. I said I got to bring on the person who had everything to do with me getting on the Dr. Oz show, and it was their decision, and we must have them on. And Joey Cola said no, so we called RC.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Nice.
No.
I was like, Richie's never had a heartfelt intro.
RC no. Smith, and first of all.
This is awesome because three of the five people I like in comedy are in this room.
So. Yay!
Well, that's cool.
And then there's Joey Cola and me. So
yeah,
those are the only people I like in comedy.
That's a good point.
I hate everybody
else. He does. But R.C. Smith is here, wonderful stand-up comedian and warm-up man for The Chew.
A warmer.
ABC's Daytime. ABC's. Some girl who wants my job said that she wants my crowd warmer job. That's the message. She, I like your job is crowd
warmer. He goes around and blows on people, rubs their shoulders. Yeah. He gets them warmer.
Yeah. I said, well, you should learn what the title is before you ask for it.
New York Magazine called me an audience fluffer.
Wow.
That's I was like, really? Like I'm going around playing with people's balls.
Well, at least now you got a title.
Yeah, it's like,
and he does it for free.
Not only that, I do warm-up.
Now, did that close friend text you, or did she Facebook you?
No, she sent me a message on Facebook.
Yeah.
I was telling RC that I wanted to congratulate him on his idea. He's moving.
Right.
I'm getting out of New York.
RC's getting the hell
out
of New York.
After 30 years in New York City and 28 years doing comedy and 20 years doing TV, I'm done. I'm getting out.
All right.
I told him I wanted to tell him that it's a good move. I moved out of the city, and I love it. But I didn't want to call you because I didn't want you to think I was aiming for your job.
Well, I called him, one of my oldest friends, and I called him to go. And I waited a few weeks. I said, I'll call him. And he goes, I've been expecting this call. And I go, what do you mean? He goes, you want me to put your name in the hat, in the ring for The Chew? I go, no, I'm just calling to say congratulations.
No, this is what he said. I'm calling to wish you congratulations, and I'm happy at Oz. But, yeah, you know what? Go ahead and put my name in the hat if you want.
He said,
yeah, but no.
He's close.
Yeah, but no.
He goes, so you don't want me to put your name in? I go, yeah, go ahead.
Comics are such vultures, though.
Oh, it's,
you don't know, even though you guys are very close, don't know.
Honest to God.
I can't wait to pick apart your
I never knew I was so popular until I said I was leaving the TV show. I've never known I was that people
is,
wanted to be
really
near me.
It's really become a job that comics, you realize how people see us.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a godsend. The job is a godsend.
But the thing is, there's only four people that can do it.
Yeah.
You know, not everybody can do audience warm-up.
Even a great comic doesn't mean you're going to be good at warm-up.
At all.
And a mediocre comic can be great at warm-up, and we prove that every day.
Single day.
People that have seen you do it said you're not even a warm-up. It's almost like you're a maestro.
I say it's
like a conductor.
Warm-up comedy is a cross between babysitter, traffic cop, ringmaster, fluffer.
Absolutely.
And comic. That's what we do. And stage manager, producer, host. It's all of that rolled into one.
And a major part of it, I think, and which is harder for you, is that the star has to trust you.
Absolutely.
And you have more than one star.
Yeah, well, we had five. Now we're down to three.
They're
dropping like flies at The Chew.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And so now there's less for me to worry about.
Yeah, people are like, hey, you're losing your warm-up guy. They're like, at least he's not on camera every day. It's a star.
At least he's got a clean background.
So when I first got married and Angie and I were talking about leaving New York, we just started the idea of leaving, I go, well, let's take advantage of some of the cool stuff before we make a decision. And her and I came and we watched you do warm up. I think like 2 days in a row. We went and saw Dina go do it like 2 days. And I think you guys were not recording because I got a hold of Joey and they weren't recording.
It's probably in the summer or something.
I go, let's go see all my friends that do warm up and you can see how TV shows are made and it's a lot of fun. And these guys are my friends. And
did she think it was fun?
She loved it.
Okay, good.
She absolutely loved it. No, but the thing was, I took pictures because I was so excited that my wife is hanging out with my friends.
Right. Because
she doesn't come to the clubs and hang out.
No, that's a hard sell.
So we took pictures and stuff. I put it online, and then all of a sudden I start getting all these emails. What, are you in line for trying to get warm-up work?
Of course.
Jesus Christ, can I not have friends?
No, you cannot. There's people you work with, and then your friends.
Do you ever feel that way? You don't seem like you have that complex where you're worried about people gunning for your job.
No, I don't care. I don't care at all. So, because I'm really good at what I do. So, and you know, and I have that confidence. And also, the show has always had my back. You know, if anybody fills in when I get back, they're always like, "Oh, we're so glad you're back. We're glad you're here." So they, you know, and they're kind of freaking out a little bit that I'm leaving. So they're really
I'm
freaking
sure
out.
They are.
So
big I'm shoes sure to they throw. Are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially that show because you shoot pretty much in time.
Yeah, we do. We're not live, but we're live
close.
To tape. They call it.
So. And you have got that audience. They have got to stay here for that whole hour. They cannot wane. And that it exhausted me when I've filled in for you. There is not a second where you let them let up.
One of the things, though, that helps a lot is they fed us. We kept that energy up because
they
just
got
kept
food.
Bringing food.
Yeah, we don't feed it, Dr. Oz. I'll tell you that much.
No, but you get pictures of vaginas.
Yes.
That had me up, but I had so much fun when I came and watched.
It's a great time. I mean, I'm gonna miss the camaraderie because, as Richie will say, you get to know the crew really, really well,
right,
and you
right.
become friends, and you socialize, and you hang out, and you go out drinking, and
it's
it
the
really
exact
is
opposite of
you
stand-up
know,
comedy.
Completely opposite.
Nobody wants to talk to each
Completely opposite.
Other.
Exactly.
If
so,
you do good, they like shun you.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. They hate you. They don't want to talk.
And they're
to you.
A fun crew over there.
Yeah, we have a really good crew. It's
they're fun.
Probably
guys.
The best people I've ever worked with.
Yeah, they're
and
a lot of fun.
We hang out. And we do stuff. And we've also had the added bonus of going down to Florida together because we've done episodes down in Epcot. Yeah. So 3 years in a row, not the entire crew, but the majority of the crew, we all went to Florida. So we all hung out in Florida, too. Wow. So there was, like, restaurant trips and drinking and more drinking and drinking. So we've really bonded together. We've become really close-knit. So that's what I'm going to miss more than anything is sitting in the studio in the morning saying inappropriate things. Because we had – I don't know if you had it, but we had a sexual harassment seminar at our studio. Did you have that?
Didn't no, we? Richie was the sexual harassment seminar.
I will say that's ironic.
Right.
But
right. Well, this was before everything went down.
Yeah.
So we had a sexual harassment for everybody, the cast, the crew, everybody, and it was this woman who had never been sexually harassed ever in her life, and she's the one that's telling the talk, and she's saying, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Well, the funny thing is the next day, all of our comments as a crew became 10 times worse than they ever were.
See,
so they told us
what
not
they
to
don't
say.
Understand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're fueling a fire.
Because we're all a bunch of 12-year-olds. That's why we're working.
Well,
in TV.
I'll tell you a funny story. My old Glenn Arbor, who was the sound tech at Oz, who was the sound tech for Conan all his years at NBC, and for Letterman all his years, and for Tom Snyder.
Wow.
Remember Tom Snyder?
Yeah,
the Tomorrow Show. And he was in that studio, and he was one of my best friends and one of the funniest human beings you'll ever meet. Every morning, without fail, at the director's meeting, he was in his 60s, I was in my 40s. Every morning, I'd sit across from him at this big in the studio. Director would be giving notes, and without fail, I'd look up from my notes at one point, and he'd be sitting across the room just going.
Like, Richie's like, doing like a blowjob maneuver.
Yeah.
So
oh,
for
yeah,
those
yeah,
of you
yeah.
listening.
That is true. Like, not everybody's.
And, right, I didn't know. Right, thank you. But every morning, he did that.
Speaking of TV.
And every morning, I laughed like I never seen it. Like, this was genius comedy.
Yep.
And he got me every time, and I just thought, like, we're grown men.
Yeah.
And you still think.
Well, you know what my wife says to
funny.
Me? Whenever we have a week off, my wife says, are you going back to camp next week? That's what she calls it. She calls me going to work summer camp. Because that's
so
exactly
funny.
What it is.
Yeah.
And we have inappropriate nicknames for everybody.
Right.
And the minute a new intern comes in, everybody, you know, automatically is, you know, rating her. And it's just, you know, it's just the way it is.
Yeah, we're
you
not,
know?
We're not, you guys are a little crazier than we are.
We're nuts. Yeah, everybody, yeah. We're nuts at our career.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah. Now, a lot of shows will tape multiple shows a day.
Uh-huh.
Do you do that
we
as
do
well?
Two a day.
Two
yeah.
a day.
Yeah, so my first warm-up is at 8:30. That's when
wow.
I have to hit the stage.
Oh, really?
At 8:30, yeah.
Wow.
So and then
that's
and
an
then
early
yeah,
morning.
And then the show goes. I mean, I do roughly, you know, 20 minutes or so. So then the first show goes from 9 till 10, and then the second show then is from 12:30 to about 1:30. So I start my warm up at about, you know, 12:15 or so.
But you're waking up what, 5?
I'm up at 5 every day.
But you're yeah. done at 1:30.
We're done at 1 between 1:30 and 2.
Yeah, we yeah. I mean,
but
I
getting
gotta,
up at 5 sucks no matter
it does.
What
yeah.
you do.
Yeah.
It's
right.
terrible. Yeah,
yeah, it sucks. It really
the
sucks.
The only good thing is that driving into the city, because I drive, because I can't do the subways anymore. That's how out of New York I'm done. I'm done with the subways. I was on the L train the other day, and I was the only guy not sleeping with a blanket laying on the benches. I was the, yeah. it was like a sleeper car.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
on the city of New Orleans.
Maybe it is.
I got on the train. I was like, did I get on Amtrak? Holy crap, am I on the right train?
Because yeah, just a hobo
there's
on
eight
his way.
Guys in blankets sleeping on every seat yeah. on the L
no,
train.
It's unbelievable.
It's
man.
Gross. So I drive in the city. But at least that when I leave at 10 till 6 to come into the city, it takes me 10 minutes to get from where I live in Brooklyn to the Upper West
yeah.
Side.
So,
you know, I just fly
so now he's moving to Florida, where there are no homeless.
No.
but at least
they're tan.
Well, so this is, see, I get a little nervous when we have guests on and it's early and we're drinking. Uh-huh. But this isn't early to you.
No, this is the middle of the night.
Did you shoot yeah. today?
So we did today. We did two shows. And then I ran home and watched 10 minutes of the Yankees game. And now here
yeah,
I am
yeah.
back. So.
Yeah,
you should have met up with us. We could have watched the
I guess
game.
We shouldn't. Yeah. Stanton hit a home run.
For first at bat,
Jesus.
Hit a two-run homer.
Wow.
Season's over. let's declare them champs now.
So RC, what are we drinking?
My favorite bourbon in the whole world, Buffalo Trace.
From
Kentucky.
Very smooth.
It's smooth. It's sweet. It's caramelly. It's vanilla-y. It's really nice.
I really didn't expect RC to show up with a drink. I thought we'd have to make one up for him.
Well, I checked the name of the show before I came here. I was like, I saw drinking. That's all I saw. I don't know what the rest of the show is about, but I saw drinking.
You saw me and Rick Adonna and knew it was drinking.
Yeah, they just look at the credits of who's on it. And pretty
yeah.
sure.
So
alcohol's involved.
When are you done?
June 14th is our last day of taping.
I thought you went through the summer.
No, we go through June at the end of middle of June, and then June 17th, my wife and I fly down to Florida to get a house. We're renting.
Okay.
And then we're down there for 5 days. She has a couple job interviews lined up as well. And then we fly back. And then my last gigs in New York, I'm doing Good Morning America for about a week, the beginning of July. And then July 15th, we head down to Florida. We pack everything up
wow.
those 2 days.
Wasting no time.
At all.
But you're staying in comedy.
Yeah, yeah. I already have gigs lined up.
He doesn't have a choice. Have you seen his tattoos?
I have to. What am I going to be a greeter at Publix? Come on.
Welcome to Publix. This is Lenny Bruce.
There's one job I can picture me doing out in Florida. Right by where we're going to be living, there's like a tiki bar and a pier that goes out into the big river that leads out to the Gulf. And that they have a gas station for boats. And all it is like
cocaine
three pumps. Exactly. So there's three pumps, and there's a guy, and his job is to sit there in a chair drinking a beer
and
waiting
gas.
For people. Well, he doesn't even pump the gas. The boat comes in. He stands up and hikes up his pants. The people toss him the rope, and he holds the rope until they get out of the boat and tie it up themselves. Then he takes the pump off the handle off the pump, hands them the handle the pump. They fill their own gas tanks.
Are you serious?
They then hand it back to him. He puts it back in. They give him the money. He talks about the weather. He unties the boat, but gives them the rope. They get back in, and before they're even turned around, he's back in his chair drinking a beer. And I'm like, that's my future job.
There you go.
That's
pant, pant hiking optional.
Yeah, exactly. I said, that's my job. I just got, he's old, so I think if I wait him out, I think there's a pretty good, or if I scare him.
You're going to be all the people bugging you. That's going to be you to him.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah. What are you doing as soon as you're done with the gas job?
Right, yeah.
You find a replacement.
Hey, gas guy.
Yeah, you're
and the guy's off going, can you believe he thinks it's gas guy?
Hey, listen, I'm interested in your gas filler job. Is that is there a possibility of me getting that? No, so I'm going to keep doing my gigs. I've been in touch with the people at Disney, and there's a possibility of me doing some things for them, like emceeing events and
You'd
hosting
be amazing
events
at, that,
at Disney. Yeah, and I've already auditioned for them three times because we were down there 3 years in a row. With the Chew. So they already know who I am. So I've emailed a couple of the guys, and they're like, yeah, we would love you. Keep you in mind. Let us know when you're down here. And and Orlando's only like a three-hour drive from where we're going to be living. So I might do some stuff for
now,
Disney.
I will tell you that I was on the road with Joey Cola, and we were driving to a gig talking about you.
Uh-huh.
And we were talking about you retiring, and he said that you said to him, I can't picture myself at 70 just waving people.
I can't at all. I can't picture my even at 60. I can't because I'm 59. I'll be 59 this year.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Oh, I, oh
so,
wow.
You
look.
So
you take he doesn't look.
You look fantastic.
Well, it's the bourbon.
No, I knew he was older.
He embalmed himself.
Yeah. But and I said, at 60 years old, I can't picture me getting an audience to clap for omelets.
Right.
I just can't do it.
Right.
You know.
And Joey said to me, "See, I can." And I go, oh, yeah, no, I know you can.
Yeah,
like,
well, yeah.
Like Joey will be waving in the coffin.
No,
come on,
yeah,
guys,
come on.
Really
let's
up.
Hear it for
Plenty
Joey
time
Cola.
For me.
Yeah. And also, everybody in TV is getting really young. I mean, you know, all the producers are like in their mid 20s. And, you know, to be talked down to by someone in their 20s, just I can't do it anymore. Yeah. So I'm done, you know, especially when they're like, you know, you missed an applause break during that segment. It's like, blow my brains out right now.
Mark and I go through that with Joel.
RC, it's great to have you on the show, buddy.
So out of all the years of doing this, has anybody ever come up to you after and do the, I got a joke for you?
Everybody. Well, I'm sure we all get it, right? I mean, every gig, every weekend, everywhere.
How do you
here's
feel
what, here's
about
what you should do in your skit. I got a great joke for your skit, they
your
say
skit,
to you.
Your little skit. You ever get that? Your little skit?
Yeah.
Which is interesting for you because you're unique from everybody else because you just pretty much improvise.
Yeah, I don't do jokes at all. I don't really have setups and punches
so
at all.
It's interesting for them to watch that and then think they could use this.
All right, then I'm going to put that joke in somewhere in the middle of my act.
He walks into a bar right. somewhere in this.
You must be terrible at puzzles because where does that fit?
Yeah, at all. Yeah, no.
Now, but how do you feel about when somebody tells you? Some comics hate it. Some comics love it. I love it. Personally, I'll listen to every joke.
I like hearing
tell
a good
me.
Joke. Well, it depends on the person saying, do you want to hear a joke? I mean, if it's, you know, a normal guy or someone who we think is normal, that's fine. I'll listen to a joke. But if it's a guy who's like a little drunk or just an annoying old guy and you know that he does this all the time, then that if it's a cute chick, I will listen to her jokes for the rest of the night. You know? So you got to get a read on the audience. You know? If it's some guy who I've just picked on and they want to come out and be an ass to me, then no, I won't listen to it.
Okay. I don't know how to tell. You may have to edit this. I'm going to tell it. I was.
We're editing.
No, you really may have to edit this.
Yeah.
I was in Houston about 25 years ago, and I was working with Mick Leszczynski.
Yeah.
Love Mick.
And this guy walks up to us after the show, and I'm standing like facing Mick, and the guy goes, "I got a joke for you." And Mick puts his hand up and goes, "Is it racist?" Doesn't even look at the guy. Is it racist? And the guy goes, "No." Mick goes, "Because if it's racist, we don't want to hear it." The guy
just
goes,
judging by his accent?
It's not racist. Mick goes, "All right, what's
in
the
Houston,
joke?
What are the chances?"
I swear to God, the guy goes, "So these two N-words walk into a bar."
Oh, no, but he didn't say N-word.
No. And I went on the floor. And Mick goes, "What did I just say to you?" What? And the guy was going, "No, let me finish." His point was, the black guys come off good in the joke. He was just saying N-word.
I was just describing them.
I'm just trying to explain to you who they were.
They were smart N-words. Come on.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could not. I was laughing so hard. And Mick's What did I just say? He was so mad at the guy. The guy's like, if you let me tell you the joke.
Right. It explains itself.
Well, and I wouldn't want Mick mad because he looks like John Malkovich.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he'd kill you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mick used to be pretty muscular, too.
Yeah, back, yeah, this is 25 years ago.
He was in pretty good shape, as we all were.
Then you started working for the Chew.
Maybe it was 25 pounds ago. I'm not sure.
I always see pictures of when I first started doing warm-up, like from, 18 years ago. And I always say, oh, look at that guy. He's so thin and hopeful and happy that he's working in TV. This is the beginning of a great life for him.
It's the beginning of the end
here. Look how hopeful he is.
Now, what you've done, I backed you up on a few shows now.
Right.
And the first one I did, well, no, the first one was before Danza, but you did Danza.
Right, my very first one was the daytime version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. But I only did that for 2 weeks, and then they fired me.
Oh, really?
For whatever reason, so for politics or whoever. So
no further questions.
Right, and that was
you want to know what the real is? So no, that was with Meredith Vieira.
Meredith, okay.
I got fired because the other guy who was doing warm up, who had been just fired, got back into the good graces of the producers by sleeping with one of the secretaries, and so then the secretary went to bat for him and said, you got to have him back on the show.
Well, that crosses off the person I thought it was.
So they canned me. So.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Yeah.
I'll tell you later.
Yeah. So.
Really?
So I did that.
That worked?
Yeah, it worked. But then within a couple
Richie,
of weeks.
If you slept with the secretary, you'd never get hired again. You have to be good in bed.
No, Dr. Oz's secretary, he's a really cute guy.
Yeah. So. And then the second show I did within a couple of weeks was the Caroline Ray show.
Oh,
Who was going to be the next Rosie O'Donnell.
The next Rosie, yeah. Right. She actually took Rosie's studio and everything.
And that was my first full-time gig doing that. And then that was only on for one season. Actually, it might still be on because they never officially canceled it. No lie. They never said it was canceled. And as we're having the farewell in the studio, Caroline is like, well, we don't know if there's going to be a second season, but it's been a great experience. They're tearing down the set and carrying stuff
out. Are you kidding me?
Oxing it off.
So funny, dude.
She's like, hey, can you hold off on the hammering?
We're not sure if we're coming back. Hold on, they wet my dress.
Yeah, it's exactly what it was like.
Wow,
yeah, it was exactly what it was like. So, and then I did Life and Style. Oh, no, then I did the Ricky Lake show for its final season, which was the.
So basically,
you had a lot
saying
of one and done.
If you have a TV show, don't hire RC.
No,
because that might be the
I
last.
I do remember that vaguely, that he was going from show to show.
Right,
to
and
show.
Then I did Danza. Oh, I did the short lived Life and Style.
That was the one.
Which
I
with Kimora Lee
Kimora
Simmons.
Kimora Lee Simmons, Russell Simmons' wife.
Right.
She was so nice.
She was very
and
nice.
And what's her name? The comic.
Lynn Coplitz.
Lynn Coplitz.
Who was on it. And I did that show for just a couple of weeks. Because it was such a bad show.
Well,
it
you
was
brought
terrible.
Me in to back you up on it.
Right.
And then you came over to me and you said to me the day that I went to watch it, he goes, listen, I'm probably going to quit, and I don't think you should take this job they offer it to you.
Because I was doing the show one day, and it was terrible, and the executive producer was the guy that always yelled. It was a show where everybody yelled all the time.
Uh-huh.
The stage managers yelled. It was just a nasty place to be. So he gives me the finger, come here. In the middle of a segment.
EP?
Yeah. So I went walking out in the hallway. I'm like, yes, sir. He goes, this audience sucks. What's going on?
Wow.
And I had it. I said, well, if they had something to look at that was good, maybe
wow.
they would be good.
Wow.
And he goes, that's it. And he got really pissed
wow.
off. So I left and went over to the Danza show and did that for two
right.
years, two
and
seasons.
And I backed you up on Danza. But
right.
Because I used to love Scott, the director for Dr. Oz.
Was our AD, was our assistant director.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So that was on for two seasons, and then the Rachel Ray show I did for 6.5 years. Five and a half years, almost six. And then
was exhausting.
It was brutal.
I did fill in for a week at Rachel Ray when you...
That's where I learned my chops, because it took us 3 hours to do a one-hour show.
Yeah.
And I was killing all the time if it wasn't
the
show.
I think that was my first season at Oz.
Right.
And we were doing 3 hours... at Oz. So I had a week off from Oz and was really needing that week off.
Yeah.
And you had an emergency and had to go home. And I went into Rachel and I'm like, I can't believe I'm doing another 3 hour show.
It was brutal. It was brutal.
The one thing that I heard, like you said for the Chew, you go up and your routine is 20 minutes.
Right.
And I heard for Rachel Ray, it could be 10 minutes, it could be 20, it could be an hour.
Back then when I did it, it would be anywhere because wardrobe changes took a lot of time. They would do two or three shows at once. They would do three segments from one show, then she would change her clothes, and then two segments from another show, then she would go back and change into the same clothes, and they would do four more segments. It was really weird. The scheduling was bizarre. And I had to be out there singing. And that was the only show I've ever worked on where the audience would just get up and leave. Because they'd be like, listen, they said we were going
to
be done by 2. Yeah, and it was like 5 o'clock. Yeah.
When I was there. Yeah. They'd go, we're going. We're leaving.
Yeah, listen, because we have a life. Yeah. So we have to go.
Yeah. Well, I remember one day at Oz, we were having problems. And I had really done a lot of time up front. And then Oz had something happen. He had a change. And Dr. Drew Pinsky was on the show. And he saw that I was, like, done. And he goes, anybody have any questions? And he fielded questions for, like, a half hour. And I thought that was so nice of him.
You know what the worst ever happened of a comic that I've heard? Tracy Locke, who does warm-up. She was working on the Katie Couric show. And she starts her warm-up. And Katie had a dental emergency. Either she lost a filling or something.
She told us this. That's right.
Well,
she told me.
And they came. They called over Tracy over and they go, listen, we have to take Katie to the dentist. So just kill time till we get back.
Oh, my God.
And she ended up doing almost 2 hours.
What?
Really?
Yeah. While Katie went to have her filling replaced.
I mean, what's going through your head when that happens?
Oh, you're just ready. Because that's when you're out there doing your time and you turn around and all you see is tumbleweeds. Because at the Rachel Ray Show, I knew I was done at the Rachel Ray Show when one day I'm out there and they said, no, she's walking. She'll be right out. And so I started my warm-up and 15 minutes go by, then 20 minutes go by, then 25, then 30. And I'm still doing my warm-up. And,
you're fine.
And, you know, and do it. Then 35. And I turn around and the whole crew is gone.
Oh,
they've all gone out to craft services, and there's tumbleweeds rolling across the set. So I said, hey, play some music to my son guy. And I went out, and I just snapped. I went out, and they're all just standing out there drinking coffee and breakfast. And I went, what the F is going on out here? Where people, like, drop their coffee. And I was like, you better get your asses in there and start the show, because I'm done. I'm done. And I go back in the studio.
And he goes back in the studio and goes,
So
who's dancing and
kicking
that booty?
Who likes burgers?
I don't like to do a lot of time up front.
I think 15 minutes is more than enough.
Yeah, I like to do 10 just because they anticipate the star and the show. So the less you do up front for me, the longer you're out there, the more they kind of lose that edge of, we're going to start a show here now.
Yeah.
So that's just my own. If you need time in between, I'll give it to you. But up front, I'd rather. And I talked to Oz about it. He agreed. So you know what I mean? It's not like something we both discussed it.
Right.
There's an anticipation that gets lost if you're out there for half an hour. But he's nuts.
Yeah,
he's nuts because he tries to beat me to the stage now. One day.
Wow, I wish.
He went out and a few weeks ago. He went out. I was in the men's room. I come out and I'm like, I see the hair and makeup, and I go, why are they up here? And then I hear, hey, guys, listen. I go, oh, this isn't good. And the stage manager.
And, I'm picturing Richie just
when he's
running.
On the show, we got to talk about it. Yeah. So the stage manager, is the opposite, because he's always trying to beat me. So I'm like, fuck him. He beat me, right? All right, great. Stage manager's like, you should be out there. I go, I should be out. He shouldn't be out there.
So don't tell me who should
I
be
go out,
out
and he say to the audience, when the warm-up guy gets here,
Don't laugh.
And I turn it. I go. I'm here. He goes, shoot. Like he wanted to mess with. I'm like, you.
He was like a third grader playing a prank.
He is like a. You know, he's like he is like a third grader.
I love it.
What happens on our show is our hosts do my jokes during the show.
He does that
all the time. And then
that's cool.
And then,
I find that very.
And then they make a point of saying, you know, we do RC's jokes just to piss him off.
Oh really?
Yeah.
No, Doc just steals my jokes. Yeah. No, he just takes them.
Rachel used to do it all the time too.
How funny was it when, Rocco started repeating you, I'm a sex god or
Rocco,
whatever.
Oh, yeah. Rocco Despirito.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we actually wrote a joke for him. He was on the show, and they were there. They were at the show. And so he's in the hallway. He goes, hey, I got an idea for a joke, but I don't have an ending. You got to help me write this. And I turn and go, you couldn't have had a better day. I got Mark. So we wrote a joke for Rocco, and Rocco looks at Mark and goes, that's good, but we could do better. Remember that?
Yeah, but then you were doing the warm-up, and you kept repeating something.
I did a thing on sexual heat. Oh, no, right. I do a joke about that he'd never heard before, because I always do it, where we did we talk about sex, and I kept stopping. I go, I say something like, Dr. Oz, you never know what we're going to talk about. Recently, I learned this. You should have sex, and the point is 2.5 times a week. But when I got the sex, people clap. So then I go again, you should have sex. And I keep doing it. People keep clapping. And it threw Rocco off.
Right.
And he went
so
out.
He's recording his bit.
He goes out, and at one point he flubbed. The line. And he turns to us. He goes, I'm all thrown. Richie's working blue. I don't know what's going on.
And then he yelled, sex.
Yeah, he started yelling, sex.
Brad Garrett was on our show once. And when Brad's on a TV show, he just takes over.
Yeah.
He doesn't let anybody talk. So he did a joke, and I wait for the audience to laugh. And he goes, listen, little monkey boy, I don't need you waving your arms.
Oh, you should wear that with a badge of honor. Brad Garrett once called you a monkey boy.
That's funny.
But then I said, I figured you could use all the help you can get. And the crowd goes, oh! Whoa!
Comic fight. Yeah.
Somerville's on next. So Michael Somerville's coming.
Oh, nice.
And he opens for Brad, so that's funny you brought up Brad. I don't know why I just said that. It stopped the whole show.
He's not here. but I think it's funny how you mentioned how you drive in and you drive out, because when we were hanging out a couple weeks ago, you talked how you become a better cook.
Oh, much better. Oh, absolutely. Look at me.
I wasn't going to make that joke, but we're all self-loathing.
Right.
That when they make something cool on the show, you're already, you can't get to the supermarket quick.
No,
enough.
I stop at the food store
on the way home.
Yeah, and pick up the ingredients and make it at home that night.
Which your wife
must love. Well, yeah, because they never cook. So and honestly, if it's something that has like ingredients that I don't think know if the kids will like, I actually say, you know, this is what Michael made today on the show, and they're like, oh, this is great, and they eat it.
Oh,
so,
it's all about
They won't eat my food, but they'll eat celebrity chef's food.
That's hilarious. It's all about how you sell it.
It's all how you sell it.
A three-year-old and a five-year-old walking down to Park Slope, Brooklyn, and the mom was like, kids, do you want to get sushi tonight? They're like, yeah, sushi. I'm like, are they really excited about raw
sushi?
Fish? Are they really?
Seriously.
We're having sushi tonight. I'm glad you brought that up.
Oh, my mouth's watering.
It's funny because you said that you'll get something that you see on the show, and like, I'm much healthier now since I started Dr.
I can see that. You're glowing.
Yeah.
Diet starts Monday.
It's from the bourbon.
I said, order me food. Joel, order me a steak. Or whatever. He goes, all right, whatever. I go, diet starts Monday. And he goes, the question is, which Monday?
Yeah. You know, it's Tuesday.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I tell one real quick story?
Anything you want, brother. Yeah.
I never worked this club a lot in my career. Right, I was neither. Never a city
We're
comic.
Recording
I was,
live
you know,
the comic
so,
strip.
And the in about 95, I would come here and hang out because I would work Catch. I worked Catch, a Rising Star, when it was here in the city. So then I would come down to the strip and just hang out and talk to people and stuff like that, as we do. We hang out a lot. Well, this is where I got arrested. This was the club I got arrested at. Right next door, there used to be a little bodega.
He can't get a spot, but he can get arrested.
Juicy.
Right next door, there was like a little bodega.
It's still there. Which was,
No. It was right where the Chinese restaurant
is, and now the
closed restaurant. That's where it was like a big place, and they had flowers out front and everything. So I'm hanging out one night, sitting out here in the lobby, and all of a sudden I see just like three or four and then five cops come walking in the front door. And at the time, this comic I knew, his name was Billy. He was an African American guy, and I said, "Hey, Billy, your ride's here." I just made a joke, you know, because there's all these cops. He's like, ah, ha, ha, ha. And then they came walking up to our table, and there's this Indian guy with them, pointing at me, going, "That's him, that's him, that's him, that's him." And so I was like, and the cop said, "Can you step outside?" And I'm like, "Me?" And he's like, "Yeah, can you?" I'm like, "Sure." So I went out in front. Well, about 2 weeks before, some guys had gone in and beat the crap out of him trying to rob him. And he thought I was the guy that did it. He thought I had returned to the scene of the crime.
This is when you had the crazy spiky hair.
It was blonde hair. I had blonde hair at the
time.
And I'm like, so a guy with blonde hair and tattoos robbed you and you think I'm him? So they ended up like cuffing me and taking me down to the precinct and holding me. I had to go.
Who got your spots?
Here's the funny thing.
Billy.
Louis C.K. was here that night doing the show. And so he was out front when I got arrested, you know?
It was him.
And yeah, so it was him. And I ran into him years later, and he's like, "I have a memory of you getting arrested at the comic." I'm like, "Yeah, that was me." So,
and now you have a memory of him being arrested.
So it went to trial. I had to get a public defender.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and everything. And they kept postponing the trial, but we had preliminary hearings. I had to plead not guilty. They had to get witnesses. Here's the one thing that saved me. There used to be a club in Lake Hopatcong.
Yeah.
Because my thing was it Porky's? Whatever the name of it was.
It was in a basement.
Yeah. So because they said the first thing the cops said to me was where were you 2 weeks ago on Saturday? And I was like, I was probably working.
Right.
You know, as I work on every Friday and Saturday night. And they're like, at this club? I'm like, no, I'm a road guy. So there's no money in the city.
Right.
I'm a road guy.
Hilarious. Yeah. Because if you would have been here, you would have had time to go there.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I'm like, no, I don't know if you know, but the politics of comedy is there's no spots in the city. They have a million guys. And oh, never mind. So,
I digress.
I went into a whole diatribe.
And there's
about
a big
city comics.
Line of hookers looking down at you.
Yeah. I said, no, I'm a road guy. I work where there's money. Come on. I get to do 30 or 40 minutes, and then I get to extra money. So at the time, believe it or not, the club in New Jersey actually kept a tally of what time the comics went on stage. And so they had R.C. Smith on stage from 8:40 to 9:30. Wow. When this guy was robbed, it was like 10 o'clock at night. Lake Hopatcon is like an hour and a half away from here.
Wow.
And so that my lawyer actually found that. And so, but it went on for about 6 months because the assistant district attorney was right out of law school and he was going to make an example of this wise ass comic with the hair and the tattoos.
Wow.
And so I had to go to court date after court date after court date. And finally I said to my lawyer, look, what if this thing goes to trial, what are we looking at here? He goes, well, it's a misdemeanor, but it could get bumped up to a felony. So you could end up maybe doing 6 months to 2 years. And I'm like, unacceptable. That is completely unacceptable.
The judge, what do you think? You're some kind of comic?
Yes. There was a restraining order.
That's a huge range.
There was a restraining order. I couldn't come up here to the Upper East Side.
Yeah,
I
but the comic strip
Second Avenue.
Put that up.
Yeah, they didn't want me near them.
So, wow.
Yeah. And finally, one day we went into court for the final hearing, and they had the evidence, and the judge actually yelled at the assistant DA. And I was like, why has this thing been going on for so long? The guy obviously has an alibi. He wasn't the one that did it.
I never knew this.
Yeah, it was, you know, and it was funny because the cops took me down to the precinct. It was on 66th Street, I think it is. And they tried to do good cop, bad cop, because I was in cuffs in the back of the police car. And I was like, so what happens next? And the one guy's like, well, why don't you tell us what happened and maybe we'll go easy on you? And I'm like, oh, okay, he's the bad cop. All right, that's good.
If that story goes differently, none of the stories you told today would have happened.
At all.
Ever.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah, that's
much
right.
Much different life.
I'd be sitting outside the comic strip with a pencil case selling pencils for 50 cents.
Bring a whole new meaning to the chew.
That is crazy.
Yeah. So that's my, and you know, so I didn't come up here for a long time.
Right.
Just because
Well, let's go next door and beat the shit out of somebody.
Right now, let's go.
RC's revenge.
I don't know if you remember me from 30 years ago.
I am a different guy.
Now I'm moving to Florida, fucker.
So we got to get out of this now.
Yeah.
Well, that was great. That's a great way to go out.
Jokes and storytelling, baby.
Thanks, RC.
My pleasure.
Last call.
Thanks for listening to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.